Good morning. The scripture reading for this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 to 3, and from verses 11 to 32. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming to hear him. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law were complaining, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. A man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that will belong to me." So he divided his assets between them. After a few days, the younger son gathered together all he had and left on a journey to a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth with wild lifestyle. Then after he had spent everything, a severe famine took place in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and worked for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He was longing to eat the corrupt parts the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired workers have food enough to spare? But here I am dying from hunger. I will get up and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way from home, his father saw him, and his heart went out to him. He ran and hugged his son and kissed him. Then his son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Hurry, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate, because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field. As he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the slaves and asked what was happening. The slave replied, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he got his son back safe and sound.' But the older son became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and appealed to him. But he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have worked like a slave for you, and I never disobeyed your commands. Yet you never gave me even a goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and everything that belongs to me is yours. It was appropriate to celebrate and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and he is found.'" Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
It's a time to give up what you really enjoy, to lean heavily on confessing sins, to prepare yourselves for the story of the crucifixion and the terrible death of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. For several centuries, mostly during the Middle Ages, but it came forward into maybe even the early 20th century, it was a time to give up eating meat. This was a big sacrifice for a lot of people. Personally, I think that that part was instituted by the medieval European church for a very good reason. Early spring is the time when mammals, except for people, give birth. And hunting was forbidden so that the young animals and their mothers would have a good chance to survive. Otherwise, you definitely wouldn't have any meat the next year. See, conservation isn't such a new idea after all. And if God wanted you to refrain from meat, it made it easier to give up. God said so. I don't know what you do about chocolate. Today, however, in many churches, is called Laeterte Sunday. It's Joy Sunday. In many churches, there are Lenten candles up front, and they're mainly purple for Lent and blue for Advent sometimes. And one is lit each week to count down to Holy Week, so you know how much longer you've got to go like this. But the third Sunday in Advent and the fourth Sunday in Lent, instead of purple, a pink candle is lit. And people have a bit of reprieve from all the gloom. I'm wearing pink today. So it's a perfect day to use this reading of the prodigal son, father, God, whatever you want to call it. Prodigal means unreasonably extravagant. So you can name this what you want. And I'm going to talk about parties. I'm going to call this passage the prodigal party. And I've lost a page. How nice. Oh dear. It is not here. It really isn't here. Okay. This is the revenge of the computer. I'm going to talk about parties. And what we hear in this story about the father and the two sons. And this is a good review. The two sons, in ancient Hebrew tradition, the older son would have gotten twice as much as the younger son when the father died. But this family, this father is very rich, and this family, the younger son concocts this idea that he wants his stuff now. And so he goes to the father and he says, you know what? Why don't you divide this up now and take retirement? Won't that be nice for you? We can do all the work and you could sit back and just relax. You've worked hard. And he convinces his father that he should give the older son the farm. And the older son gets everything on the farm, the animals, the servants, the house, everything, and all the work. And the younger son gets a cash settlement. And this seemed to be fair to everyone. And so the older son starts digging in, and he's doing all his responsible work. And the younger son takes off with the money. And he goes off, and he spends it all on you know what. That's what it tells us in the story. And there is a famine where he is. And he doesn't have any money, and he has nothing to eat. And he ends up going to live on a pig farm, which is a real insult in the Jewish tradition. Why would you do that? And he's so desperate for food that he looks at the pigs and he says, I would even eat their leftovers. And he's frightened. We know many young people who go away and then they don't know what to do with themselves because they can't come back. And he finally has to admit that he hasn't exactly lived the way God intended. And he says, I'm going to go home And I'll confess that I have been wrong, and I've been wrong against my father, I've been wrong against my family, I've been wrong against God. And I will ask my father to give me a job as a servant on the estate, because I'm not worthy to be his son anymore. And as he comes down the road, the father sees him, and he hikes up his robe. Think about this. This is this elderly gentleman who is very dignified, and you know, and he's got standing in the community. He hikes up his robe, his sandals are flapping off his feet, and he runs down and he gives his son a big hug. And he says to him, "Welcome home." He doesn't even give the son a chance to confess. Son's got this all written out, you know, in his head. He's, this is what I'm going to say, and they're going to feel sorry for me. He doesn't even get a chance to say, "I'm sorry," before his father just hugs him and then orders all the best things for this younger son, the errant son, the runaway son, the one who wasted everything. And the father actually, when you think about it, he doesn't really have the right to go and kill the fatted calf, because he doesn't own it anymore. As far as the society is concerned, he's dead. He has nothing. But he does. He says, "Get him a robe, get him new sandals, put some jewels around him, and we're going to have a feast because my son has returned." And the older son comes in from the field, and he hears all this stuff going on. And he says, "Well, nobody told me about this." Sometimes that happens, you know. You think, "Gee, I belong to this organization. Nobody told me there was a meeting. Nobody told me there was a party. Don't they like me anymore?" And he looks at this stuff going on, and he's been working so hard, and he goes and he complains to his father, "You never gave me anything. You didn't even kill some scrawny goat for me. How come? This isn't fair." And then we remember these words. They're very important. Listen to them and put yourself here. "Son or daughter, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost, and now he is found." Now, when I was doing all these readings that I do every week to prepare a sermon, I came across a whole list of things. It's from the United Church of Christ. They have a great website. And the woman who wrote this is really very special. And she wrote this stuff, and there was a list of suggested things and themes that you could preach on for this Sunday. There were 21 of them. Different ways. You could preach on this for 21 years. You could do this as a Bible study for 21 weeks. And it would still keep going. That's the beauty of this story. Now, I'm going to pass by most of them. I am not going to talk about who gets to be punished and all this stuff that's going on in sinfulness and the role playing of each of the saints. You've all heard that before, probably. I'm going to do the one on the list called "Who Gets to Go to the Party." It's not about honor and shame. It's not about responsibility or careless living. It's not about being fair. It's not about repentance or condemnation or forgiveness, or even about who we identify with in the story. And every time you hear it, you know, "Oh yeah, I remember that one."